So grateful to be here today with you. I love probably of all of the sessions that I get to do, this is one of my most important and most favorite, because I think that what we're going to talk about here is kids in grief, and be able to help you with that. I love children. I have a funny little story I need to tell about my little grandson. He's 3 years old, just barely turned three 2 days ago. And he's a very interesting little boy. He talks a million miles a minute, and he's always going, and he's always getting in trouble. And the other day, as he was there with me, and he was doing things that he shouldn't do, is actually picking on his little six-month-old son or brother. And I looked at him, and I said, "Jace, what are you doing?" And he looked at me like this, and he said, "I'm getting ready to go into timeout." And so I do love working with kids. And I've lost my paper. There it is. There was a little mistake here on this. That my secretary missed out the most important piece. And that's working with the 10 or the 3-year-olds on up to the 10-year-olds. And so we will cover them too. What I'd like to do then is start off. Let's talk about your children that are 3 years old and younger. It's a very interesting group of children, because these children that are born, shortly after your spouse has passed away, realize that children under three have very few memories. Okay, the memories that these children will have will be created and be taken care of by what you teach your children. Very, very important for them, and some of them, I was visiting with a young sister yesterday, and she may even be here in the session, she was pregnant when her husband passed away, and the memories that her child will have will be absolutely nothing of him corresponding here on this earth life with his father. I am one of those that believe that our children have an opportunity. And that's just personal, because of things that have happened in my life with my children, that they have an opportunity to be with their fathers. And, of course, the mother, they would have an opportunity for a very short period of time if mother died at their birth. But these little children do have an opportunity. What they do know, though, is that they will know the stories that you tell. They will know the things that go on. And so it's one of those things, then you need to have ways to teach them and to talk to them and teach them about their parent. Very, very important, I believe, is that to make for them little books. Okay, children, I'm a book person. I like it because children, yes, they'll be able to go push the button if you want to make them a DVD. But the reality is, if they have a little book, and it's so easy to make books nowadays, and pictures and stories. I would encourage you to make them little books and pictures, books about you falling in love with your spouse and about what their mom and the daddy was like, and doing those various sorts of things so that they have a way to make those memories. As you do that, they will have times where they will have questions. One thing that I have learned about young children is they have lots and lots of questions. And as they grow up through the ages, know and understand that then as they become friends with other people and those other people have mommies and daddies, they will go home and they will start asking questions about their mommy and daddy. Those questions then usually wondering where daddy is or where mommy is. And so it gives you an opportunity, brother and sisters, to start to teach them and to tell them the stories of your spouse. Little children, until they hit about 10 years old, and I'm going to jump around now from birth until 10 years old, young children don't have the abilities, brothers and sisters, to know the difference between fact and fiction. Okay? I remember way back when my daughter was about 5-6 years old, she was getting into plays and kindergarten and plays and first grade, and their imagination is going wild. I remember as she entered into the fifth grade, where they hit about 5 or 10 years old, all of a sudden her mind began to put the difference between facts and fiction. I remember that she was in a play in the fifth grade. She was the evil queen in the in the, what's the one with the rabbit? Alice in Wonderland. And we were sitting there watching a TV show one night, and here's this actor playing, and this actor dies. And my daughter asked me the question, she says, "Dad, why would that actor choose to be in that actor if she knew she was going to die?" Now, she had not yet been able to distinguish the difference between fact and fiction. It was only a short time later, okay, that all of a sudden she's starting to question us about, is there really a Santa Claus? Is there really an Easter Bunny? What about that Tooth Fairy guy? And then we wonder why children have nightmares, because now we're saying, you know, there isn't one, but then they're younger, they were saying that there is, and if Santa Claus can get in, the Easter Bunny can get in, so can the boogeyman. But it's one of those things that they don't know the difference between the facts and the fictions. And so as they grow, realize that they will create these memories. And so one of the things I'm mentioning here now is to do the memory books, the DVDs, special days, have those special days so that you can celebrate the life of your spouse that has passed. Those are very, very important for the children. Most of the time, children do not grieve the same as parents. You need to know that. You're going to go through this grieving process, and as you go through the grieving process, what will happen is that your child, basically, they don't want to have life be anything different. For those of you who've got children in school, realize, and especially as we talk about teenagers, they don't want life to be any different. I have had parents, okay, go to children's, conferences for their child at school, and even though their parent, you know, the dad or the mother had passed away, the next year that teacher didn't know that that child had lost its father or lost its mother. The children just don't want to have anything be different. So what they do is they go into life, and within a few days, few weeks, what they're doing is they're going on with life, and they want you to go on with life. I want you to think for a minute how hard it is for you to process the death of your spouse. And then I want you to go back into your life and think, okay, how on earth could a 3-year-old, how on earth could a 5-year-old, an 8-year-old, a 10-year-old, or even a teenager, how are they going to process the death of your spouse? How are they going to do that? The death of their parent. Okay, they don't have the abilities like you have, and it's a slower process. What we find is that children, and teenagers especially, they process and they go through the grieving process a year after you do. Usually the second year is when they start to do their grieving process. They're pretty okay right now. And you're thinking, okay, why are they being okay? Why is this okay for them? Why aren't they sad? Why aren't they hurting? Why aren't they doing these things? Because again, what it is that they want normalcy, and then the next year they start through the process. Now they're a year behind you, and you guys have gone through a lot of your grieving, and you've gone through a lot of the sadness, and you've gone on through those feelings that you've had. And now all of a sudden your child comes along and they start their grieving process, which is different than yours. And they start their grieving process. And now guess what happens? Guess what they do to you? Okay, they will drag you back into grieving. But most of the time what I find with parents is that as the child is going through the grieving, then the parent, as they watch their child going through that, they think something's wrong with me because I didn't do something right. And so now what I do is I have lots of parents who are feeling sad and terrible and horrible and rotten and guilty because what have I done wrong with my child? But now they're still sad and I'm moving forward and I don't want you to feel guilty about that at all. Realize that you haven't failed. But the fact of the matter is that your child is going through that process at a different rate than you are. Now, going back to those children, those small children, there's a number of things that I'd like you to do to help them, all right? One of the things, as I mentioned, is to make a grieving book or a grieving DVD. Take the pictures of your spouse's funeral, you know, when they did their little video clip thing and put music to it. You can take that same DVD and you can put it to music that they like, not your music, not their dad's or mom's music, but what? Their music. And it'll help them. You can do that. It's very, very quick, very, very easily. It's not a hard thing to do. I encourage you to do that. I encourage you to take and make quilts, okay? In my family, we call them quillos. I don't know if any of you know what a quillo is. Okay, it's one of those little blankets that kids like, and they can fold it up and put it into a pillow, and then they can take it over to sleepovers at Grandpa and Grandma's house. But it's one of those things, as you make those things, and what I would encourage you to do is one of two things. Take clothes from your spouse and make a quillo out of the clothes from your spouse. I would encourage you, if you don't want to do that and you want it on, you know, to be soft and fuzzy and cuddly and that sort of thing, is to take, because you can go to Walmart, you can go to Kinko's. They will put a picture on cloth for you. Okay? They will do that for you at both Walmart and at Kinko's. I don't know if there's too many places that don't have a Walmart nowadays, but they will. If you want to pay extra money, Walmart will take and actually make you a whole blanket, okay, just out of pictures that you give them, and they do it. Go ahead. Yes. So collage.com will make them. Mm-hmm. And she found it, collage.com, and she said, mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's very, very good for them. I encourage you to leave and to have things, you know, for your children so that they have pictures of mom and dad around. Don't take all of those things down. That's not a good thing to do. Yes.
So, my son actually asks me to paint him.
No.
He's four.
He's four. That is interesting. How many children do you have?
One.
Just one. In that case, I would take the ones that you want, because you get to have a voice too, and then be able to take some. But that's a request. That would be interesting to visit with him. I'd love to sit with him and find out what he's thinking it for. But that's an interesting, but if they, you know, if you have one child and they're requesting to take it down, I would. But if they have three or four and they're the only one that's requesting, I'd say, no, we're gonna keep them up, and or we can move them to their rooms, or maybe even a family room where there are. You had one, Mitzi? Yes. Let's see. I'm only 61. Oh, let's do this. Time out. I got it. There we go.
I just asked if, you know, how long can the anger last? As far as it says on here, children grieve differently. They get angry. How long can they be angry? You know, it's been 9 years from, and not, I don't want to make it really clear. My kids are not angry, mad people. But I'm starting to see some signs that could be connected to their dad.
Okay. So back to what the question is. No, don't be sorry, because it's a very, very, very good question. Realize that there is nothing that says that everybody goes through this process. And as we go through the process, we're done with the process. The very first thing I want you to look at, brothers and sisters, is that the grieving process that you read about all the time. You need to know that that process was created, and they studied people who were dying. They did not study the partners of people who had lost their spouses. Now, isn't that interesting? So we've got this grieving process, but it has nothing to do with you folks. It has to do with the people who are actually dying. So when we talk about anger, okay, what we do know for most adults and things like that, you may not go, I'm not going to say most of you might not go through anger. You may go through a little anger, but my experience with working with adults is their anger times may be coming little snippets here and there. There's a lot of folks that don't even go through anger, and then they come in the therapy because I didn't go through anger, and now will you take me through anger? So you know, they want to come in and pay me hundreds of dollars so that they can go through anger, and the reality is you don't need to. With children, now let's talk about that, because the anger is there. With children, with teenagers, okay, they don't know how to express emotions, okay? And what we normally see with children is when they don't know how to express emotions, what happens to them is they go through a rapid little cycle. Let me tell you what it is that they have this little dream or this little hope, okay? Let's say that the dream is that dad comes back or mom comes back. The dream is that I want to go to daddy-daughter state, or I want to go over here with mom to the zoo. Okay, they have this dream, and it turns into an expectation they can't have. Now, we're talking rapid cycle here. We're not talking something that they think about for months. Okay, we're talking about minutes and little, you know, less than 10 minutes. And so they go from the dream to the expectation. The expectation then goes and turns into frustration, because what's not going to happen? The dream is not going to happen, and I'm frustrated because I want to go to daddy-daughter date, and daddy's not here, and all of my friends are get a daddy, and you want me to go with Uncle Ted? I don't like Uncle Ted today, okay? And so they have that frustration that comes, and then it immediately turns into anger, and so their anger comes because of why? Because they have this little dream down here that they can't have. And so when we see the anger, okay, it's coming about because of expectations. It's coming about because of they don't know how to express their emotions. And so one of the things we ask you to do when your children are going through this grieving process is to watch for the anger. Okay, they become agitated very quickly. And as you do that, with your smaller children up until 14, 15 years old, you know, let's talk about it right now since we're talking about the anger. The anger comes even 9 years later or 10 years later or 15 years later. The frustrations come. Again, it comes back to those dreams that I can't have and the frustrations. I call them grieving attacks. You guys can call them whatever you want, but they will happen. All right? Now, yes.
Mm-hmm. And she's throwing things, she's angry, but she doesn't know why she's angry. Or sometimes she'll just be crying, I don't know why I'm crying. So what do you do when they're angry?
Okay, so the comment or the question was is that she has a daughter that's always angry, doesn't know why the anger is there, and what do we do to help them to go? Now, here's where we do a little therapy. The therapy comes in, and this is what we do. When you have anger and it comes, all of you need to understand that it comes because you have adrenaline in your system, okay? When your heart beats faster than 92 beats a minute, I'm going into the physiological side of it here for a minute, you click me into therapy mode, okay? Is that when your heart beats faster than 92 beats a minute, if it's not your choice, okay, if it's not your choice, you will go into what we as therapists call fight and flight mode. You've all heard of it, I'm sure. When you go into that fight and flight mode, what's happened, brothers and sisters, is adrenaline is into your system. And unless you become physical, okay, the adrenaline gets stuck in your cells. And it builds. And then it builds. And then it builds. Okay, if your children are doing nothing but playing video games, or they're sitting and zoning out watching TV and they're not active, it will build and it will build and you'll have more problems with those kids. What I encourage you to do is get them active. For your little children, a couple of things that I'd encourage you to do. Go buy the big Bam Bam bats. Okay? They're red, they're black, they're big ones. Okay, they look like the ones that Barney and Fred used to use. And they use them with little kids to teach them how to hit a ball because they're big. Take those bats and beat the bed. Okay, let them beat the bed and beat it with them. Have their siblings come in and beat the bed and make it so that two or three nights a week or every other night as your kids are going through this, beat the bed. It gets the adrenaline out and they're not knowing why, but they're having fun. Guess what they like to do? Beat the bed. The only rule is they can't beat each other. Okay, if you have a water bed or an air bed, don't beat those beds. Go find a friend with a regular mattress, but literally beat the bed. Okay, another fun thing to do, spring and summer is here. Go get water balloons. Okay, and if you've got a brick house or a stone house, throw water balloons against the house. If not, find something that they can throw water balloons against. It's that motion and getting the energy out. In the wintertime, I encourage people to go blow up the water balloons and make hundreds of them and spread them out on their floors, and then let the children try to pop them as they jump up and down on them. They're really hard to pop. But as they're jumping and they're moving and they're doing, these kids are going through and they're getting the adrenaline out of their system. The next one I'm going to give you to do is, do you have to call the neighbors, okay, to let them know what you're doing, or they'll think something's terrible going on? But I encourage you to have screaming contests. Okay, you go out on the deck, if you have a deck, go out on the back porch, but you have screaming contests. And see who can scream the loudest, who can scream the highest, who can scream the longest. Like I said, you just have to warn the neighbors so that they know that something terrible and rotten isn't happening. But then they will learn after a time that, yeah, those people are a little bit crazy, but it's okay. It's okay. Okay? But you've got to get them active. As your kids get older, they don't like to play the games as much. These are where I encourage you to get your children into activities that will make them move. Okay, get them into soccer, get them into race or running track, get them into playing baseball, get them into, you know, the boys into basketball and the various things. For those of them that don't do the sports thing, they can get into judo and karate and various things like that. You know, they like to get them into doing so that they're moving. Yes. Speak loud.
Oh, sorry. My 17-year-old boy, he's a junior.
Mm-hmm.
And he's decided that he doesn't want to do football next year.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But I know, I'm hoping that he doesn't regret doing football, and I think it would be good for him to do it. But how much is a mom going to push him? Well, I don't want to use the word push. Maybe encourage, or do I just let him make his own decision?
Well, three thoughts. Okay. What I would do is I'd encourage him. I would talk to your football coach and have him encourage him. But the third thing, I'd let him make the choice. The only thing that I would worry about as a therapist working with a young man or woman like that is, what are you going to replace that time that you'd have been playing football with? If I'm just going to go hang out with friends, and what are you and your friends doing, then I would be worried. Okay? For teenage boys, can we jump to teenagers and then we'll jump back for a minute? But with teenage boys, the thing that we worry about is that they're moving, you know, and they're developing friendship as all teenage kids do. If they don't have some close friends that they can connect with, we worry about them doing three things. Number one, we worry about them connecting with young men or young women who aren't going to take them down a road that we want them to go through, and we worry about whether they're getting into drugs and to alcohol and to sex and to pornography. So what we watch is what they're doing and what kind of friends they have, and so I would become very best friends with their friends, so that you know them. Okay, the second thing that we worry about is them isolating. In other words, they withdraw and they become loners. And then we know that they're headed down a bad road too. Most of the time, those loners, they're feeling depression and anxiety. And the anxiety keeps them from participating in activities with other people. And so those are the kinds of things that you watch for with your teenage boys. Question here and then to here.
My boy was a junior when his dad passed away. He plays football each year, he sleeps it. And it was 1 week before the finals. They were going to be in the provincials in Canada. And he had decided he wasn't going to play because he thought that would be, I don't know what he thought, but he wasn't going to play. And his coach was amazing. And the coach and them had emblems made that all the football kids put on their helmet with my husband's initials on it.
Then you. I can come. I have a traveling mic.
Thank you. I lost my husband while one son was serving his mission, and my youngest son was a junior in high school, also playing football. We knew my husband was sick, so he graduated early so he could leave on his mission. That second year you're talking about is the year my son has been out. Is there something I need to be worried about? I know he's really busy right now. And also my son that was on his mission, I have yet to see him grieve. Do I need to be, can you help me figure out what I need to do or be watching for?
Yes, I can. I'm going to make you hold on to that, and then you hold up two fingers so I know what I'm going to do, because that's the very last part we're going to talk about.
Okay, my situation is a tad bit unique. I have four kids, okay, but they are 27 to 20. All four of them live at home except one's at BYU right now. The two that I'm most concerned about have Asperger's, and they... Like you, one, I haven't seen her grieve at all. And the other one, he is wearing his father's clothes. So I'm not sure if that's a good thing or not. And then the fourth one is so busy doing life that he'll just say, I miss Dad. But that's where and we're only 9 months into this. So I don't even know what my question is, but hopefully you do.
And I'm going to have you hang on to yours, too, because I want to finish talking about teenagers, and then we're going to come back and talk about our single adults.
Even though they're at, as far as years on life, they're younger.
Mm-hmm.
My 20-year-old is more like a 16-year-old, and my 27 is, I don't know.
Yeah, so we will come around to it. So hang on to those, I promise you.
So my son lost his father when he was 4 and a half, and he's 11 now, and he is doing many of the things that you were speaking of. He's isolating, he's actually self-mutilating, which has come to light in the past 6 months. He is 245 pounds emotionally eating, and I feel like I'm walking this delicate balancing act of helping him, you know, like guiding him through that, but at the same time not shaming him. And
okay, what I'm going to ask that you do, okay, because you are on the extreme side, is that okay that I tell everybody that that's the case? Would you come see me right after this session and let me give you some specifics? Would that be okay? Because you'll need some specifics. Whoa. All of these have the same, no.
I just have a quick question, kind of going with the younger kids.
Mm-hmm.
You said the second year is when they grieve. My kids have yet to grieve, and I just wonder, at what point do I need to worry about that? So they are now 10, 9, and 7.
Okay, the question was, is that her children, it's been
12, 9, and 7.
2 years out, and they're 12, 9, and 7, and they haven't gone through any grieving. When do you need to worry?
Anger. Like, if people didn't know, they would not guess that their dad had passed away. We talk about him a lot. They're very positive about him. They talk about, you know, they know they're going to be with Dad again. I mean, it's very positive that way, but as far as anger or they say I miss Dad, but they don't go as much pain as they cry. And so I just wondered.
Okay, now just so you know, you're doing a very, very good job. Okay, because you're able to talk about it and they're able to talk about it. Realize that you're doing a good job, and they may not go through what some children go through just because of that. And so what you want to do is you just want to be aware. All of you need to just be aware, and you watch for things that your children are going to be going through. If they go into it, then you're there, and you allow them to talk, and you allow them to express their emotions and their feelings and the thing. The most important thing you can do with all ages of children is to be able to talk about it when they want to talk about it. Not on a plan that you have, but you know, be able to talk about it when they want to talk about it. I do encourage you to have traditions. I do encourage you to have things that you do to bring it up so that, you know, we have Memorial Day coming up, that may be a good time. Their death date, that may be a good time. Their birth date, that may be a good time. But what I ask you to do then is you have those times that you talk about it, and we have a tradition that we go back and we use old traditions. But I also encourage you that when you do those kinds of things, that you never end on a bad note. All right? So, for example, our family tradition of going on Memorial Day is that, that we go and we pay respects to those that we've loved that have passed on before us, but then we get together afterwards and we have a party. Okay, we end on a good note instead of a bad note. We don't want to end on a downer day. We want it to be a good day and end on the positives. So there's my, your turn.
I guess mine's kind of just before you get to the older kids. My little girl was 9 months old when her father passed, and she's 2.5 now. So I don't know if I should expect some of these, you know, some of this, because she won't remember him. So do I need to be aware? Like, could she possibly go through anger when she's older?
Mm-hmm.
They
can possibly go through that, but it'll be because of the friends that they're playing with and them not having a dad. They will go through, they may go through some of those things because of that. They may not remember, but realize that they may go through some of that because, again, why does everybody else have and I don't have? Okay, so yes.
I have five in there. I have twins that are 11, and an 8-year-old, and a 6-year-old, and a 2-year-old. And I know that they think about their dad all the time, even though they don't talk about him. But sometimes it gets brought up. And so I think being in that mindset, it helps me know that I have to be open with them and talk with them. Because I know that their dad is on their mind all the time. My daughter just last week played a soccer game, scored a couple of goals, and she was proud of herself. And she said, oh, I wish dad was
it off. Okay. Now, any other thoughts before we move on? Because we've got 15 minutes and we've got to cover teenagers and young adults. Yes.
Question. So is there, sometimes do kids use different forms instead of anger? Like, is there a way that they, like with my child, I think he has really high energy, but I don't see anger. It may just be his age.
And these four, that's a 4-year-old. They have a little bit of anger, or not anger, but lots and lots and lots of energy. And that'll just increase, so don't worry about it. And whatever he has at 4-year-old, he's going to triple it by the time he gets 14. So don't worry about that, okay? I'm just kidding. Yeah.
You mentioned talking to them when they're ready to talk. Because one of the things that I've struggled with is whether my kids should have had counseling or not.
Mm-hmm.
Son that you're trying to figure out how they've gotten to their destructive personality.
Mm-hmm. So the question is, do I take my child to therapy or I don't take my child to therapy, and whether I drag my child into therapy and the therapist ruins them, right? Okay. Or I let them go down the road they're going and now I rule them. And I'm just kidding on all fronts. But here's my thoughts, okay? And I've worked with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of children from all ages, from beginning to, you know, till children that are actually, their parents died when they were old, okay? What I find is it's an individual thing. Children don't like to be different. When let me just change somebody just for a second so you can see. When I'm working with a child who's handicapped, whether they have ADD or OCD or they've got a learning disability, I work really, really, really hard to not have them go through special education. How's that grab you? Because what I find is that I can go to teachers, okay, and I can help them not be different, and they will excel. I know what it was like for me, okay, of going through life thinking that I was dumb. Okay, with children, what I know is they don't want to be different. They don't want to have anybody know that I'm going to therapy unless they're a drama person as a junior and a senior in high school. But they don't want anybody to know that I'm here, okay? And so for me, what I would say is that you watch for signs, okay? You watch for them, whether they're out there doing things that they really shouldn't be doing, or they're isolating, if there's anger there. You know, those are the signs that you look for the small children. Jumping into teenagers, the signs you look for with girls, okay, is you look for isolation. They isolate and they go down, and so I've only got one friend or no friends. And if I can't be with that one friend, then they become very, very moody and they pull inside. The other is they do just the opposite, is they'll go out and they'll be very, very, what's the word I want to use? They're attracted to boys, okay, promiscuous, and they're chasing boys, and they're out there going and doing, and you lose control. Those are the ones that I worry about, and those are the ones that I'd say get them into therapy for the girls. For the guys, you know, they will go and they will hang out with the wrong crowd, or they will go and become very, very isolated. They're big into the video games. They're big into not doing anything but video games. And one of the problems that we have, especially with our teenagers and our children, because of what they've gone through as parents, what I see over and over and over again is I don't want to say no to my kids, or I don't want to not, you know, I don't want to be too tough on my kids because of what they've gone through. I don't want them to go through anymore. And what I'm going to say, brothers and sisters, you have to be a parent. And the sad thing is that you're the only parent. And you don't have a partner to switch off and play good cop, bad cop. You just have to be the bad cop. And so many parents that have gone through what you're going through, what happens is that they go, and now they want to just be their child's friend. And you can't be their friend. You got to be their parent. And that's really, really harsh for me to say to you, but you still have to be the parent. And so that's when you see the signs, and going back to that therapy question, when you see the signs, then you say, yep, we're going to therapy. And you drag them screaming and kicking, and if you don't believe that they come, I come to my office, you can see, Ruth, that there's scratch marks in the parking lot and in the sidewalk of them dragging. And I've actually gone out and done therapy sitting in the car with the child because the child won't come in. But you get them there if they're going down those roads.
Can I just say one thing that offers me?
Everybody hear the question? That's one of those where I'd say he needs to be in some therapy and have the therapist help him learn the difference between good guilt and bad guilt. And I don't know if he's prone to letting you be religious with him or not. If he is a little bit, then there's a very, very good article that was, it was a talk actually by President Spencer W. Kimball when he was apostle. It was back in the 40s. But it's an older article. It's called Destiny or Tragedy, or Tragedy and Destiny. Tragedy or Destiny, thank you. Very, very good article. Tragedy or Destiny by Preston Kimball. And it helps us understand that Heavenly Father literally is the one, you know, that calls them home, but he doesn't save everybody. And that we can't save them if he wants them home. But it's a very, very, very good article. Okay? Yes.
I've got a daughter with disabilities, mm-hmm. and she doesn't seem to grieve at all. She, when I ask her, are you sad, she says no, so I'm just assuming that's normal. Mm-hmm. And my other question is any tips for adults? I had two weddings the month of my husband's funeral, five since he died in a year and a half.
How are you standing?
Fake it till you make it.
Wow. Okay, so going back, so let's jump in. Let's finish up teenagers really quick, and then I got to jump into young single adults and missionaries and that sort of thing. So with your teenagers, keep very, very close tabs and watch what they're doing. Give them boundaries. The other thing with teenagers is allow them to see you grieve. Teenagers will follow what you do, and it's healthy to grieve. It's healthy to grieve. Now, there are some of your teenagers who are going to be mad at you when they see you grieve. Those, I would say, do it sporadically, but they need to see you grieve, because even though they're mad at you because they want everything to be normal, Okay, they do need to see you grieve, so when the time does come that they are going to feel sad, that they will allow themselves to do what you do, whether that's to be cry or to be crying or to be sad or to be angry or to be upset. And when those times come, because they've seen you do that, okay, they will give themselves permission to do so. Okay? So let them watch you. And those, like I said, those that are angry at you for grieving, then what you got to do is you just let them see you grieve sporadically, but you still have to do it. I see somebody waving. Are you waving or just stretching? Okay. All right. Now, go. Yes, Dale.
My son's mentioned 3 times now in a month that he's upset that he didn't get to say goodbye. How do I help him with that?
There's a couple of things that I would do. All right. One of the things that I would do is help him draft a letter or a card, okay, and attach it to a bunch of helium balloons and let her go. And it'll take it right up to heaven, you tell him. Okay. Another one would be to do the same kind of thing and burn the letter and let it go up into smoke. But it gives him an opportunity to say goodbye by writing out a little letter to his mother. That sort of thing, and that's something that's fun for a child. It means something, so you've got to go through some kind of a little ritual for him. It may be that you take him up to the top of the mountains if he's into the outdoors and let the balloons go up there instead of the graveyard. But it's one of those things that you have to have rituals to help them let them say goodbye and let it go. Here and then here.
So my friend, she wanted to come with me, and last minute she couldn't come because her son, all of a sudden, falls for everywhere, is now having anxiety about her dying if she goes on a plane or goes on a trip or goes in a car, goes anywhere. So he went from being okay for the first year and a half, not having to go anywhere with her, wanting to stay home, and now he has to go everywhere with her and absolutely threw a fit about her.
Mm-hmm. Very, very, very good comment. That happens quite often. And so help her understand that it's very, very normal. What they want to do is they want to look at 2 things. Is this little boy has probably either got some anxiety going, or he may even have some what we call obsessive compulsive stuff going on. He wouldn't be a full OCD person at that age, but he could have some OCD stuff. And that's one of those things that you need to do a little bit of therapy and get him into some therapy and help him look at, see what facts are. But it's very, very common when a child loses a mother or a father that what's going to happen to me if you die? And especially the younger ones, they think those thoughts. And so to help them understand that there's always a process, they worry about you dying, they worry about where the money's going to be, they're going to worry about that we're going to be living on the streets and because, you know, daddy was the one that was making the money and how are we going to make and live? They go through anything and everything that you can think of. And so when they have those concerns, you need to be able to address them. In this one here where he's so extreme with the anxiety, they probably need a little bit of therapy to help them learn to control those thoughts. Now, moving on, because we got to be done because we're going to move here, but I want to talk about young adults, okay, and missionaries. For missionaries, what I find, because I get to work with lots and lots of missionaries, and it's been a blessing in my life, that most missionaries are so busy that they never get to grieve. Often they will come home from their mission and they will grieve after they get home. It depends on the missionary and where their head is too. So specifically with him.
He's been home a year, but he didn't want to be treated any differently. No one but the mission president and mom knew his dad died. The other missionaries didn't know. And
That's what I'm saying. They don't want anybody to know. They just want to keep right on rolling. My guess is that he will grieve in his time. And what we find with young single adults, guys, is that I call them the lost grievers because nobody really pays attention to them. And they go through their grieving, you know, kind of in weird ways here, there, a little bit there. What we find is that most of them, you know that they start to grieve if you guys start to date. And what you'll find is all of a sudden, you know, they have all of these triggers going off and they will question whether you loved dad or mom. They will question, you know, you know, what's going on with all of those things. And so that's when the triggers and the grieving takes place for them. And that's where you need to sit and you need to listen and you need to help them through their grieving process. That may come 4 or 5 years later, guys. Okay? It may come 4 or 5 years later. Gentleman first and then the gal with the glasses. Yes.
You just mentioned his biography. He talks about it. He lost his mother when he was in college. His dad remarried quickly because of the younger kids. And he was angry.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He talks about that, and they worked it out. He loved his little stepmom. Yeah, it's everybody experiences
that. It's an experience, and they go through it, and so then you have to talk them and walk them through it. What I do for those, if you're planning on dating, what I'd encourage you to do before you actually date, I don't encourage you to lie to your children, so if you're already dating, don't do what I'm about to tell you. Okay, but what I want you to do, if you're planning on dating and going and doing things, let your children know weeks and months before you start to date that you're going to date. And so you're going to walk them through it, and they're going to battle you over and over and over and over again about dating, but now you've got 2 or 3 months to walk them through it. And then when you do start to date, I encourage you not to bring men and women into your lives that you have no intention of staying with. Okay, if you're just dating to date, don't bring them into your life. Don't bring them into your life until you know they may stay around you. The reason is that your smaller children will become attached to them fairly quickly. Okay, some of your teenagers may become attached to them quickly, but your teenagers and those young single adults, if you waltz people in and out of their lives, they're going to hate you, just so you know. And so don't bring them into your lives until you know that they're going to be a permanent fixture. And then what you want to do is you want to introduce them to your children and you want them to be part of their life. And as you go through now with them, so I'm asking you to, I want you to all write at the top of your page or at the bottom of your page in big bold letters, please, that time is my friend. Okay? Understand that you have tons and tons of time. Don't think that anything has to be fast. Time is your friend. And so with children in that dating process, okay, they need to be able to wrap their little heads around what you're doing and going to do. And then when you fall in love with somebody and you decide to get married, you get engaged, and there's so many young couples that you've been married before and you want to go and be married again and you want to have all the blessings that come with marriage. I'm saying unless it's something that you're going to lose your temper recommend, let you have a 3 to 4 to 5 month engagement, because it then allows your children, and if they have children, to bring it all together. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later this afternoon in one of the sessions of bringing those families together. But you got to be able to help them wrap their head around it. Yes?
Let your children know at what age, you have a 3 or 4 year old probably can't understand that conversation. At what age do you?
Let them know you're dating. Even at 3 and 4, let them know. Yep, they need to know that you're dating. They may not comprehend it, but they will know that you're not there. And where is he gone tonight? But you do need to let them know. Okay, now you had a comment. Okay, now I can't quite hear.
My 5-year-old daughter talks about dying in different ways. If she could die, if she could go to heaven and be with daddy. And I
It's probably nothing that you're doing, but it's something that her little mind is doing, and I would get her into a therapist. Okay, now we've got a go because they just give me the sign that said I'm 5 minutes over. So grateful for you all. Hang in here today. Have a good time. Get to know one another and glean as much as you can. Thanks, guys.